Greetings, this is Tefko Sarasvik. The lecture is Mediation and User Modeling. Let's start with a quote from Samuel Johnson. Knowledge is of two kinds. We know a subject ourselves, or we know where we can find information upon it. But what when we do not know where to find it, and we still seek information? Well, then we may find somebody who does know, a searcher who knows how to go about finding it. And that is mediated searching or mediation. That's one of the central ideas of the lecture. Another central idea is that user information seeking is fundamental to mediation, and we are going to explore information seeking in the lecture. And then user modeling is a key process for searchers. And to do that, important is to know something about the art of interviewing. Basically, the central idea of the lecture is know thy users. Table of contents. We have 50 slides, 8 of them are titles and pictures, so in effect we have 42 slides. Part 1 in mediation has 4 slides, part 2 information seeking 10 slides, part 3 user modeling 12 slides, and finally art of interviewing 14 slides. So let's go to part 1, mediation, which is in effect a user searcher information retrieval interaction. As usual, we'll start with some definitions, but these definitions will put an information context. Mediation is a process where an intermediary, a searcher, acts on behalf of a user who seeks information. A mediator, you, is a person who intervenes in the information search process of another. We can have informal mediators, such as friends and family. We can have formal mediators, such as searchers, teachers. The thesaurus gives us a few related terms, and this is arbitration, intercession, conciliation, intervention, negotiation. All of these belong closely to mediation. Mediation involves a number of things. It involves human-human interaction. It involves human-computer interaction. The first one, the human-human interaction, is the interaction between the user and the searcher. And the second one, the human-computer interaction, is an interaction between the searcher and IR system. What we have done so far in the course is that we have concentrated on human-computer interaction. That is, interaction between you as a searcher and information retrieval systems. Now we are moving to human-human interaction. That is, the interaction between user and the searcher. Well, the mediation also involves feedback between the two, involving the user during the process. And professional mediation may also involve diagnosing the user's problem and identifying what interventions would be helpful. And we'll be talking a little bit more about it. Well, mediation is an overreaching process. It involves a number of things. It involves user modeling, which we'll shortly define in a much longer way, but now we define it as a representation of information need and specification of user characteristics affecting searcher. Mediation also involves searching. It involves presentation of results to users. The overall goal of mediation is to meet user expectations. So the mediation is both a communication and a related intervention process. Well, but in addition, mediation may also involve counseling and explaining, among others, helping in evaluating of output. It may involve guidance in follow-up and finding further information sources, telling the users what else is there and where they can go. It involves teaching about searching at sources, and quite often this is a main part in contemporary searching. It also involves, if as necessary, elimination of ambiguity, reducing vagueness, and even influencing attitudes. Well, enough of definitions. Let's go to the second part on information seeking. And what the reason why we are talking about information seeking is that user quest for information is fundamental to everything. Here are again a few definitions. And this concerned information, and I like to use the Belkin's famous 1978 definition, where he says, information is anything that can change person's knowledge. But here, as in relation to information, we consider that it includes objects in the world potentially conveying information. It includes what is transferred from people or objects to a person's cognitive system. And it involves components of internal knowledge in people's mind. In other words, we consider information that it involves objects, documents, what is transferred from people or from these documents to a person's cognitive systems, and what are the components of the internal knowledge in people's mind. Well, basically, what we consider is that to seek information, people seek to change their state of knowledge. Here are three definitions of information seeking, each proposed by some of the major researchers in the area of information seeking. Mike Giannini said that information seeking is a process in which humans purposefully engage in order to change their state of knowledge. Case defined information seeking as a conscious effort to acquire information in response to a need or gap in your knowledge. And finally, Carol Kuchta defined information seeking as the process of construction within information seeking involves fitting information in with what one already knows and extending this knowledge to create new perspectives. Here are some main directions in information seeking studies, and there were quite a few of them published around over the years. The main direction is actually, the question is, what factors, what variables are involved when people seek information? Let's translate that in plain English. It is, what is really going on when we go about finding information about something? In everyday life, we really do not care what is going on, we just go on doing it. But as professionals, we have to understand the process in order to deal with it. This question, what variables are involved, has a great many sub-questions, such as, in relation to what are people seeking information? And how is information seeking, as a broader process, related to information search, as a narrower process? And as a searcher's, we are very much interested in both of these questions, in relation to what are people seeking information, and how is information seeking related to information search. So, in the pursuit of that main direction, what variables, what affects us, what's going on, a number of models have been developed, and in these models, they have enumerated factors and relationships that are involved in information seeking. A few theories have been proposed. We are not going to rehearse these theories. The human information behavior class does that. But a number of studies have connected information seeking to specific aspects which are of great interest to searching and user modeling. And these specific aspects are about tasks information seeking and about information seeking and the search process. Well, the task, the notion of task, is a main concept in relation to which searching is done. In other words, information seeking is not an end of itself. It serves in relation to a work task. A task is a process in relation to which information is needed, and task is a process in relation to which you do searching. Tasks have been categorized from simple to complex. For simple tasks, you do simple searches, Google will suffice. For complex tasks, you do complex searches and use all kinds of sources. The complex tasks may have a number of subtasks, and the more complex is a task, the complexity of information needed and the complexity of searching increases. What is an implication of all this is that user modeling and then searching should be very much oriented toward tasks. What I'm telling you is that, and we're going to explore that quite a bit later on, is that when you are considering searching for a user, you should consider very much what are the tasks that the user is involved with. Well, several studies have connected information seeking with the search process. They have posited information seeking as a broader context for a more specific process of searching. And these studies exemplify factors that are involved. They showed that there is more to searching than what we think usually. I'm going to rehearse here only one of the models that have been proposed, and there have been quite a few and quite a few studies. And this is the model, Kuchtal model of the information search process. Originally, Carol Kuchtal was studying pupils and undergraduate, but subsequently she was looking also at other user and groups as well. On several occasions, and more recently in her book about information search process, she has formulated a 6-stage information search process. And each stage represents different needs. It represents different behaviors and different cognitive and affective states. So let's look at these 6 stages because they have implication of our understanding what goes on during searching. Stage number one, initiation. User, quote, becomes aware of a lack of knowledge or understanding. Stage two, selection. User needs to identify and select the general topic to be investigated. Stage three, exploration. User needs to investigate for information on the general topic in order to extend personal understanding. Stage four, formulation. User forms a focus from the information encountered. Stage 5, collection. User needs to gather information related to the focus topic. And the last stage, or stage 6, is presentation. User completes the search and presents findings. You can translate that these 6 stages into the stages that you are going through a search process for another user. And I'll leave that to you to wrestle with that translation, but it's there. Well, Carol Kuchtal also posited that each stage, a task in information search process, incorporates 3 reels. 1, affective, it incorporates feelings. 2, cognitive, incorporates thoughts. And 3, physical, incorporates actions. She was the first one who brought up the importance of the affective aspects, not only of the cognitive aspects, but the affective aspects that are involved in searching. The implication is that these aspects should be considered, as a matter of fact, must be considered in user modeling and searching. In other words, there is more to searching than mere searching. Well, here's a picture from an article in JASIS by Hamburg in 2005. And it kind of shows the iterative search process. Information seeking task is one that starts the process. It goes on with interaction with the system. With initial query formulation, system feedback, evaluation of resources, and we'll be talking about this in one of the next lectures. Decision making, reformulation of the query, and beginning new search or termination of the search session. It is a reiterative process, as I mentioned, and we are talking about task, interaction with system, query formulation, system feedback, evaluation of resources, and decision making. Okay, let us now go from information seeking to user modeling. In information seeking, we talked about what is going on when people seek information. In user modeling, we are going to talk about know thy user as an essential part of mediation. Here's the definition, and I'm also suggesting Escher Pictures. I kind of like Escher Pictures. They have nothing to do with searching, but they're there. Anyhow, the definition of user modeling is a process of identifying, understanding, and defining user information needs, context, requirements, and preferences, together with factors or attributes in the profile of the user that affect subsequent search for information. It's a mouthful, but we are going to explore that at some length in slides to come. In addition to this definition, user modeling also deals with identifying users' conceptions about how the information system or resources works, together with related expectations, with possible explanations how it really works and what could be really expected. Well, what role does user modeling play in searching? What is it in searching? Well, user modeling is a qualified dialogue and discourse between a searcher and a user. Between a searcher and a user who is seeking information in order to determine the information needs of a user, for the, and in order for the searcher to be an effective interface between the user and the literature. In other words, user modeling is a dialogue between searcher and user so that the searcher can do an effective search and be an effective interface between the user and literature, where we consider literature's recorded knowledge in great many forms. In other words, in user modeling, the searcher, you, identify not only everything about the information need and question at hand, but also a number of other factors inherent with the user that may be a guide or even may be decisive in selection of resources, in selection of search strategy, and selection of tactics, in evaluation, and in provision of results. In other words, what you are using, what you're doing in user modeling is not only about the information need and question, but also identify a number of other factors that will affect what resources you're going to use and how you're going to do the search. Well, in user modelings, the searcher also may use the occasion to verify user conceptions and expectation and possibly provide a reality explanation. There could be a mismatch between what the user expects and what the reality is. In other words, user modeling also may involve a reality check. User modeling is user plus. It is identifying elements about a user that impact interaction, that impact selection of resources, that impact searching, types of retrieval taxes, and so on. We have three general categories in user modeling. One is the modeling of the information requirements, the need and context. Another one is the modeling of the user profile, general user characteristics and attributes. And the third one is user mental modeling, the user mental model of system resources and expectations, in order to have them to be realistic expectations. So let's go first about information requirements. Here's what you should ask. Here are informational questions that you should ask. And I list five sets of them. First one, what is the problem, task at hand that generated the need for information? What is the contents environment of that? Second, what information is needed for that problem and task? What is the question? So you're not only asking the question, you're asking what's the problem and task beforehand. Then, what will the information be used for? Then, what are any requirements, restrictions on the type of information needed? And then, what information resources were already utilized? Any histories of previous efforts and results so that you can build upon it? So you're asking about the problem, you're asking about what information is needed, what's the question, what will be information used for, what are the requirements, restrictions on information needed, and what information resources were utilized. You can use this as an inventory of what to ask about. Well, you're also asking about cognitive and affective state of users. And here are some of the questions. How much does the user know about the topic of the question at hand? How uncertain is the user about that particular topic? How much is it wanted and how fast? And what's the tolerance for amount variety of information? Remember when we talked about high precision, high recall? This is the type, the answers to these questions will kind of determine whether you will be searching for high recall and or high precision or both. Well, the second part is, remember the first part was user requirements, the second part is user profile. And this is to establish a number of factors that that affect a lot of selection in searching. For instance, this is demographic data about the user that may be relevant for search. Education, educational subject, educational level, and relation to problem task at hand. If relevant, job, profession, position. If relevant, age group. If relevant, gender. If relevant, language skills. And any other factors that may be specific to information need and question. In other words, you're not only asking the users as what the requirements are, but you're asking a number of other questions that may determine what you're going to select for searching and how you're going to do the searching. Well, I'm going to introduce another concept, and this is the concept of user stereotypes. And what user stereotypes means is that it's based on relating users' behavior to general users' behaviors to the current user. For instance, Amazon recommendations are user stereotypes. If you bought this book, or the people who bought this book, they also bought these books. Well, the reason why I introduced the user stereotypes now is that because at times user stereotypes are applied in user modeling. Because there are some common characteristic of a group of users and their needs. For instance, there are some common characteristic to third graders or PhD dissertation students or patent attorneys. So here's an example. A question of black holes by an astronomer requires search of very, very different resources than the question about a black hole by a 12th grader. So you are stereotyping the astronomers as requiring highly scientific sources and searching and associative searching, and 12th grader as requiring much less scientific and much more educational explanational sources. Let's continue with stereotypes. Study and application of user stereotypes is very much used in computer science and other fields in order to design and adapt components of information system to user requirements, for instance, interface. People who designed user recommender systems in Amazon have very much studied user requirements in order to define this particular interface and then to design a recommender system. It is also used in computer science in order to apply to machine learning. Well, what they're looking for there is for a characteristic that may be applied in personalization of automated processes. But as an aside, the term stereotype is a bit loaded. Thus, other related terms are being used as well. For instance, instead of stereotypes, recommenders. Well, the third aspect, remember we talked about requirements, profile, and now the mental model of system or resources. Well, it's important to look at conceptions that the user has about the system or resources and about the mediator at hand for the submitted need. What does the user think the system can accomplish? What are the user's expectations? Are they realistic? Do the user think that a simple search will answer all the questions? And do they expect that by reading two documents that they will know everything about it? Well, if the expectations are very high, they are not going to be met, and you are going to have a very, very dissatisfied user. So the user mental model of a system or resource is used to compare and match with the reality of system possibilities and expectations. And once there is a reality check, this may affect user changing other aspects as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about user modeling. Searching is always done in the context of information seeking by a user or a group of users. And the user certainly treats it that way, so you might as well treat it that way. Understanding user information seeking is necessary to place the role and define the conduct of a given search. It is central to user modeling. Information seeking has many dimensions, and user modeling is your effort to understand and effectively apply relevant dimensions in a search. These are a few Escher's pictures that may or may not relate to user modeling, but they're fun to watch. Okay? Let's go to the last part of the lecture, and this is about interviewing, where we have 14 slides, because it's a very pragmatic process. In other words, how to interview and what kind of a categories of questions to ask in that particular interview. Well, reference interview has a long-standing concern in the librarianship, so the interviewing for in searching for in information retrieval is very, very much connected to the reference interview, and it goes back the concern for over a century. And it's a basic and major professional skill of reference librarians. So the literature about reference interview is quite large. But mostly of that is prescriptive. Some theories come from communication. What we have today is quite a growing literature about chat references, where, again, there is interviewing and discourse between reference librarians and users in a chat situation. Well, interviewing user has a much broader context. And the reason for that is that interview and interviewing is treated in the number of fields. We are not the only one. Theories from communication very much talk about it in interviewing and as interpersonal and social interaction. We have numerous theories and practices from sociology. And as a matter of fact, interviewing is one of the main methods that is being used in sociology. Then we have theories and particularly practices from journalism, and we can learn quite a bit from good interviewers and journalism. Well, let me put it this way. If you take a look the way Barbara Walters or Oprah ask questions, it is marvelous to learn how to go about interviewing people. And interviewing in all of these fields also raised a number of ethical concerns. So interviewing users and people is being used in many fields, and we can learn a lot from these other fields. Well, here are several characteristics of user interview. One, a user interview is purposive by both participants. User has goals, searcher has goals. User interview is restricted to given subject and subjects. You don't talk about everything. You talk about the subject that is related to task and information need and question. And user interview as a method relies on questions, answers for diagnosis. User interview is always situation bound. It is a social encounter. User interview also may have possible counseling aspects. And user interview is connected to informational outcomes at certain level, on certain quantity and type. And one should be always aware that user always evaluates the encounter and the outcomes of that interview. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the variables that are involved in interviewing and that you should be aware of. These variables are at hand in all interviews, and they have same characteristics and a number of variables involved, meaning that there are many, many elements that are capable of changing and varying, that are being capable of changing and varying and affecting the outcome of the interview. And here are some of the elements in the next slides that the searcher has to consider or worry about and deal with that deal with them to positively affect the outcome. Well, and the interviews may be subjects to communication accidents and failures, so one has to watch out. Here is a graph of four sets of variables to consider when we do interviewing. On the user end, we talk about the problem and task, information need, subject knowledge, intent, and demographics. We already talked about it. But on your end, on the searcher end, one should consider the variables communication skill, how well are you skilled in interviewing, the knowledge of you, the searcher, about the subject and about the information resources that are addressing the subject, the effective aspects of the interview, and the intent of the searcher. And the third component is the information retrieval system or the library. It is the type of information resources that it has available. It could be the internet, too. It's a situation that in which they have available and the access and the policies and rules and possible costs. There are always costs. There is no such thing as free lunch. There never was and never will be. There never will be free resource. Google is not free. And the fourth set of variables is to results, to your searching, the effectiveness, the results and outcomes, effectiveness, validity, and reliability of these. Well, let us talk a little bit about what is users' information need. Bob Taylor, who died just last year, and a famous article long time ago, I think it was in 1968, and it's still being cited, he has classified information need in four classes. And he gave them these names, and I'm using exactly the way he classified it. The visceral information need is unexpressed. User has a need, but it's vague. I would like to know something about X. But, you know, I'm not really sure what X is and what I would like to know. The second information need is conscious. It's within the mind. User has a relatively well-formulated need in mind. The third is formalized. It's a statement. User has expressed a need in a statement, question, example. And the fourth one is information need as compromised, as presented. User has presented a need to a system or a query. Well, you as a searcher has to analyze them and figure out where in this diagnosis, in this this classification, would your information, the need of your information user be, so that you can get down to the formalized and compromised state. Let's now address the types of questions that are being asked in an interview, particularly in reference interview, when we have. The literature classifies them in three types of questions. One, closed questions. Do you want an English? Do you want articles in English only? And the answers are yes, no, this, that. The second one is in open questions. Tell me more about the project. The questions, open questions, elicit descriptive answers and encourage a user to talk. And the third one is neutral questions. Getting the background situation, how the information needs was generated, what's the gap or missing piece of understanding and the uses, or how the user plans to use this information. In your interview, in the types of question asked, all three have a place, but what you should really gravitate to is toward the third type, the neutral questions. What is the role of question answer? Remember, the interview is questions, answer, and so on. Well, the role is to clarify, expand, and perhaps even repair the need or question as it is initially presented by the user, to clarify it. To provide basic information for user modeling, to prepare for selection of files or resources, to establish user priorities and evaluation criteria, to prepare for translation of need, question into appropriate query or queries. And the role of question answer in an interview is to do a good job. So we have several roles: to clarify, to provide basic information user modeling, prepare for selection of files, establish user priorities and how they will evaluate what you get, and prepare for translation into queries. In the next two slides, we are going to be talking about the art of interviewing and what is involved in it. Well, on one level, it's involved the situational factors, setting and physical environment, and they will affect. You know, if it's a comfortable setting and physical environment, the interview will be different than if it's kind of hurried, stuck setting. Also, the rules and regulation and ethics of interviewing. Also, the appearance and demeanor of the interviewer. The next set of factors that that affect interviewing are the interviewer's communication skills, the semantics and language that are being used, the expression, the delivery, the nonverbal communication, which is very, very important, turn-taking, in other words, you don't just talk, you let other people talk, and the encouragement and back channels. Well, back channels, if you don't know what they are in communication or in interviewing, are the type of expressions or utterances that will encourage or discourage a further question. For instance, oh, aha, yeah, mm-hmm, you're right. These are back channels. And they kind of help into the process of interviewing. Then there is the social factors, the establishing of confidence and rapport between you and the user. Then we have the act of interviewing, you have certain strategies. They're opening moves. Okay, let me take a sip of tea. In that, you are setting an agenda, a stage. The interview always progresses in stage. You have exploration and guidance built in. And you need to maintain the focus and refocus, because often the interviewers can go on the tangent. There should be feedback and iteration, and most importantly, there should also be a closure. Well, what is the content? What the kind of a questions? We will look at what actually happened in interviews in the next few slides, and we will also be talking about the role of explanation of choices. But remember that we already talked about a set of questions. We had a large project in which we recorded interviews between searchers and users in real searching, and then we classified the type of question and answers that both are talking about, and we have 8 classes of questions and answers. One, the user and searcher talk about the context, what's the user problem and tasks, what's the information request, and what are the expectations. The second category is terminology. What are the concepts and terms? What are the boundaries of these terms? What are the restrictions? And it turns out that the terminology was one of the longest in terms of time. Periods in interviews. Then the third category is system explanations, how, what, when the system works, what are the files, what are the resources and features. The fourth category that people talk about the interview during or before or after searching is search tactics and selection of and variation of terms, logic files, correction of mistakes, and this is particularly true if the user is present while the searching is going on. Another set of things that they talk about is review the output and relevance, review the and evaluate the terms, the tactics, the sources, the relevance judgment, the feedback. So you are going to do a lot of that when you present the results, that you will review what went on and what you retrieved and get feedback about it. Still another area where people talk about search engine users in actions. These are description of activities and explanations, and even if the user is not present, you can explain what the activities you undertook and describe the activities. Then there are back channels, communication prompts, fillers, acknowledgement, and then there are social and extraneous aspects, social discourse, formalities, how is the weather, and things like that. Well, one of the aspects that that a searcher involved are also counseling and enabling. Users often do not have well-defined problems. They do not have well-expressed or specified questions. Well, they might have vague or no ideas what information or resources exist or what may be useful. And they don't have a clue what to do next as to information or resource. So one of the aspects that you as a searcher can and should do is when these things happening is that you counsel the users. You help in defining the problem. You advise them what action you should have and possibly also enabling them. And that means you may instruct them how to use certain resources, how to use technology if they don't know, but certainly you are enabling the uses of resources. So let's go to the conclusion. Mediation, as we outlined it, is a very complex process. It requires a varied knowledge and skills of intermediaries, of you. It involves knowledge and skills related to communications and interviewing, diagnosis and counseling. Related to all this, information resources, their validity and capabilities, and about systems and networks that are going to be used for searching. Well, it turns out, and we'll explore that in the services. Services unit is that roles are changing for intermediaries, for searches. But one of the conclusions that I would like to end with is that mediation and user modeling is also great fun and could be a source of great satisfaction. Thank you very much. Here are two pictures related from MC Escher. And you can click on Escher Foundation and get a number of more. As far as I know, this is the first time these pictures are used in a lecture on user modeling. And why not? Thank you and goodbye.